I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
How many rows? How many turns? How many times till I'm gonna learn the ways of the world in this world that we live? I'd like a sign when something's gonna give. I guess I could just wait for the stars to align. But the longer I wait, I'm hoping.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I've read the button so well. My button is special. I am Marina Antunes, and joining me today,
Colleen, from Nothing in Particular.
I'm almost speechless. I just, you know, that button pressing took my breath away.
That's it.
What's the... 9? I got a 9.4 for my button pressing. Damn, I thought that was for sure a 9.9 at least.
Wow, she's a Russian judge.
That's right.
This must be, and she's a Russian judge, this must
be
gymnastics.
It's called the Ukraine now, thank you very much.
And this must be gymnastics, right?
No, ice
finger
dancing.
Gymnastics.
Oh. Even worse, the most corrupt of the corrupt judges, the ice dancing judges.
Okay, you guys bring this up. I bet you don't know anything about Eurovision, right?
Oh, I know. I was.
Is that what the
I was
Dutch
in
heavy
Europe
metal?
For Eurovision.
Okay, so you know a little bit about Eurovision. Yeah,
that was when I found out about it. Yeah. Why is everybody gathering around the TV in the hostel?
It's Eurovision, man. It's like the biggest thing.
This is so bad. It's good,
pretty much. And you know what? It seems to be keeping that appearance up again because my mom watched it the other day because it was on, I think, 2 weeks ago now.
Was that the like Danish like death metal something?
That was
band
the that? Year that Lordi won.
Lordi, yeah.
And it was like crazy because, oh my God, they're death metal on Eurovision. Oh my God. But like, we're totally already off topic with my butt.
What the hell is this podcast about?
And I'm Dale McGladrey from DigitalDoodles.com.
Thank you, sir.
Hooray.
We are a podcast about movies for the most part. We usually talk movies.
It's silly time.
Yeah. You know, it's warm out. It's beautiful. It's a good day to be alive, damn it. And we're inside.
Yeah,
we really need to move this show outside for the next one if it's still this warm. I'm just afraid of, you know, passing cars and lawnmowers.
Oh,
and
God help us if we're cracking beer at the same time. Yeah.
Oh, I don't have any beer.
Which
but
is
I have rum.
Which is actually reminds me of the
drink.
Cool thing the Van City is doing. Sort of cool.
Yeah.
They just got a liquor license.
Yeah. Oh, sweet Jesus! What?
And the movie that they decide to christen their liquor license with is The Thin Man.
I thought that was genius.
The only thing, they did one thing wrong. They're only serving beer and wine.
Oh, no martinis.
No martini. How can you? I mean, it was such a brilliant idea until they got to the no martini part.
You know what, though? They're having a special occasion license and having a license and all the hoops you have to jump through kind of thing. You know what? Whenever you're dealing with really open bottles of liquor that continuously stay on the shelf kind of thing, you know what, it's so much easier logistically to just deal with like two kinds of beer, two kinds of wine, and
I
then,
don't care
because then someone's like
the Thin Man martini.
The problem is it's a mixed drink. And people like it dried. People don't. Suddenly, this isn't a good martini. Put in your back.
It is run by volunteers, too.
I'm pouring
right?
out of the frickin' bottle. If you don't like it, this is the bottle. Don't
that's
argue.
That's a real dry martini.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And for those who might care, the Van City is now on Twitter at VIFC, which I was very excited about. So just so you know. And the Cinematheque is on there, too.
Thank
Essential
God.
Essential Cinema.
I can now actually drink beer at the cinema. That's awesome.
Yeah,
for some
awesome.
Movies, that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I think they've always sort of had that option for special events because I have been there
yeah,
for receptions. A number of special events, and they usually have drinks. So the SIGGRAPH folks always have drinks. But it'll be nice to be able to go in and have a nice beer with, or whatever it is, with your movie. So yeah, the Van City Theater rocks, continues to rock on.
A little bit of Vancouver trivia for our international audience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think they're the only theater that serves alcohol, so
mm-hmm.
that's a pretty big deal.
That I know of. 319.
Yeah,
I can never get the digits right, but
yeah,
they're special.
They don't
anyway.
Really count.
You know, and having
really
like a glass of wine in a mingler before some artsy film, you know, it's not the same as like going, I want a pint.
Yeah,
thank you
much.
Very much.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, we're off topic again.
Sweet.
It's going to be one of those shows. I like it. But okay, well, why don't we start talking movies right off the bat? And why don't we start with one that we've, I think the only one we, all three of us have seen.
Yeah.
Star Trek. We're a couple of weeks late. Okay, give us a break. We were on vacation. Deal with it. J.J. Abrams.
Lots of people have been talking about Star Trek, so.
Yeah, okay.
And this way we don't have to worry so much about spoilers.
Yeah, because, yeah, we expect we've all seen it already.
I'm not a big Star Trek fan. I like the TV series usually better than I like the movies. That said, I quite enjoyed this.
Bones.
Bones was awesome. My
Carl
God.
Carl Urban. Yeah.
Close your eyes
house.
And sort of just listen to the way he intones the words. It's not quite right, but it's so close. It's almost eerie.
Zachary Quinto and Carl Urban were like my two favorite characters.
Spock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that man is very beautiful. Just so we are clear on that, he's in his 30s, which shocked me, and he's very beautiful. And I don't watch Heroes, but I might be tempted.
Quinto?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a very handsome man. Oh, yes. We all know Carl Urban was hot. I mean, hello. But yeah. Colleen gives me the look. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
But, I mean, this cast is great. I thoroughly enjoyed it, much more than I expected it to.
There was one off note for me, which didn't decrease my enjoyment of the whole thing. But
two for me.
I thought, in spite of everything they did, I mean, the casting, I have to say the casting was exceptional. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how the casting could have been much better. They might have found, I mean, the...
Johnny Chow or John
Sue?
John Cho?
Cho?
Sulu?
Cho for Sulu.
I was okay.
He was probably the weakest for me out of all the characters.
Of recapturing the old characters. His performance was excellent, but I didn't feel like he did as good a job capturing Sulu as the other characters did catching, like,
Theron.
Chekhov, Anton Yelchin.
Awesome.
I mean, Simon Pegg as Scotty. He wasn't playing... I can't remember the name of the original actor. Montgomery Scott?
No,
that's the character. This is terrible. I'm just...
Coogan?
Don...
I'm kicked out. Anyway.
He's Canadian.
He didn't... Yeah, he's Canadian. He wasn't the same, but he was still Scotty. And you could say that of all the characters.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't exactly the same, but they still managed to catch the quintessential elements. And Cho didn't quite do that for Sulu for me, but he still was... out of the park. The casting was excellent. The story in terms of the action plot was excellent. The only sour note for me was the overall kind of thematic psychological story was non-existent. It was all action. And for an opening movie, I'll give that to them because everything else was done so well. But with that one, I'm hoping for a little bit better the next one. But otherwise, A+.
The two... scenes that sort of bothered me on some level was when Kirk has the swollen hands. I just thought that was retarded.
Yeah.
That felt like a throwback to the original series, though, where there were moments that were just so goofy.
Yeah, but it just, because it's not the original series, like it was sort of like a little bit...
It felt out of place.
The fact that he had, like, the, like, whatever the hell, measles, and he was, like, sick and, like, stumbling around and, like, why am I deaf thing. That was funny, but all of a sudden to have the big prosthetic hands, like, I don't know, it just...
Don't get me started on Red Matter. I mean, how fucking lame is that for...
Time travel. Lame.
Well, no, see, now, and they got a one-time pass. Like, you know me in time travel. I've probably...
They don't even get a pass from me.
Everybody to tears. But in order to kind of reset the series so that they're not dealing with people ragging on them all the time...
I guess.
I'll give them a one-time pass on that.
And the other thing that bugged me was when they went down to the drill site, the in-orbit drill... And the sword fight with John Chow.
Cho.
Why am I screwing up that name today?
That's okay.
That was kind of a little bit of lame ass, but that was just
me. Yeah. I thought it was kind of cool. But
I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. It's slightly forgettable. I mean, it's weird because it's not a memorable story, but it was thoroughly enjoyable. Well, I mean, I really liked watching it. I will definitely watch it again.
I have to compare it a little bit to the first Transformers. I mean, it literally was all action with only the very thinnest overall story, but this had a lot of heart with the cast in it.
Well, yeah, that's what I would rather watch this 4,000 times over before I watch Transformers.
Oh yeah, but yeah, no doubt.
It's like I don't actually foresee. This isn't going to be a priority to see the movie again.
No.
But I am really looking forward to number two.
Yeah, ditto.
And about the only thing they can do in number two to lose me is if they manage to bring the planet Vulcan back. If they do that, I am gone. You guys have lost me on this franchise. Yeah, so
take note.
If you travel back
Vulcan, you're in trouble.
If you travel back in time and bring back Vulcan, you're toast.
So what do you think? Are they gonna, what are they gonna go to next? Are we gonna see Klingons? Borg?
No idea.
Oh please God, not the Borg.
I would love
them to lose the Borg. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the Borg, but we've seen them too
have
much.
Them exist in that other parallel universe and just leave them there.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. And I haven't been, I mean, I've been deliberately not following.
It doesn't matter. As long as Simon Pegg is back as Scotty with his weird alien short dude that keeps on sitting on things.
I don't know about that weird alien short thing.
Get off that.
Yeah, I know.
The only things I remember, actually, lines from that show are Simon Pegg lines where, ooh, this is an exciting ship. Like, something about the way he phrased that, just like, ooh.
Traveling through big transparent tubes.
Yeah, that was kind of lame.
It had some moments that it could have lost, but overall, I thought it was a lot of fun. And a great, great score. Great score. Like, the opening music was awesome.
I'm not so sure about the Beastie Boys.
Thought that was great.
Like, it's great because I adore the Beastie Boys and I love Sabotage, but somehow I'm thinking, can't there be something else this guy's cruising around in his daddy's...
It was really unexpected, though, which I kind of liked. But I wasn't actually talking so much about the soundtrack, but the score itself is really quite good.
I must say, the whole car scene at the beginning, I really like because he ends up ditching it, just barely surviving, getting up, and the officer gets off his like hover scooter or whatever the hell it is. It's like, what's your name, citizen? Tiberius James Kirk. Just like, yay.
Yeah, pretty much. But what a waste of a nice car.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Star Trek. I'll quickly just mention Tyson, which is a documentary about Mike Tyson, which I think we talked about a few months back.
We did talk about, 2 months ago.
I finally did manage to get around to seeing it, and it was much better than I anticipated. It was a little strange in the opening, I guess, half hour or so, because you totally forget that it's Mike Tyson, because the guy that's on screen is not the Mike Tyson you're used to seeing it. You know, he's well-spoken, he's sort of soft-spoken, he's very emotional, and then you sort of see some of the anger come out, and you're kind of reminded of who this guy is. But it's kind of hard to make a decision on what to think of him from the one perspective. So it's an interesting film. I don't think it's a great film, but it's definitely interesting. I'd like to see something more on Mike Tyson, to be completely honest. With multiple perspectives would be nice. But it was definitely an interesting film, one worth seeing.
Hmm.
So that's Tyson. Very quick. Quick and dirty. Moving on to, oh my God, I still cannot believe you went to see this. Angels and Demons.
All right, this was not on my normal viewing plan.
Hell
but
no.
I know, but my mom wanted to see a movie with me, you know, and bonding time.
And what did your mom say?
Well, she said, I want to go to a movie. What do you want to see? And I said, I have to see Terminator. And she goes, yeah, no. Want to see 17 again? Yeah, not really.
This is hilarious. Well,
anything else you want to see? Drag Me to Hell? I was like, no, that's not going to work for me. And I was like, well, what else do you want to see? How about Ghosts of Girlfriends Past? Slow Day in Hell. Like,
Shoot me now.
Please, no, God. And so we went through the list of everything there and finally got down to Demons and Angels. And it's like, which I wasn't going to see, but I don't necessarily recoil from in horror. And she goes, oh, that's with that nice Tom Hanks boy, isn't it? It's like, dude, he's your age.
I just thought that was great. That nice Tom Hanks boy.
I know, that's what she said. And I'm like, okay, yeah, well, let's go see Demons and Angels then. So went and saw it, and I actually like Dan Brown novels. I know a lot of people have some contempt for it, but like as just a quick throwaway read that you don't have to use your brain cells in. I'll give you that much.
And let's just say that Angels and Demons is actually a better novel Da Vinci Code.
By far.
Came first, but it's a much better story and but much better written novel.
You know, every time I go to try and read those novels, people just keep saying, don't bother, read this instead. I haven't had a chance to read them.
They're not great, they're not bad.
Like, throwaway novels kind of thing. You go to a used bookstore and there's always Dan Brown novels usually on the shelf. And
they're all the same.
The movies, much the same. They're not horrible, but like
I disagree. I think the Da Vinci Code is horrible.
Da Vinci Code was pretty bad, I will admit. But
one great moment. I mean, the only memorable thing about the Da Vinci Code was Paul Bettany as the monk.
Mm-hmm.
Silas, I think his name is. That was the only memorable thing, and only because Paul Bettany was awesome.
Yeah.
Did this have anything that was awesome?
No, but it didn't have anything that I wanted to like poke my eyes out. It was just a throwaway film kind of thing. I wouldn't see it in the theater. It's going to be on television within a year kind of thing, or rent it in another 3 weeks. So
it looked like, some of the posters looked quite nice, and there was some nice contrasts with color and stuff that was suggested out in the trailer that I quite liked.
Again, I think of it a lot in the same ways as I think of the novel, is a cheap, quick read that I can forget about and not dwell on ever again.
Disposable entertainment.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, well, that's not so bad. I thought it was, it's not a hate.
No.
So that's good to know.
I didn't think I was going to hate it. It's not like it's the bucket list, which I bring up every time. God, I hated that fucking film.
Shoot me now.
Wow. My folks actually liked it. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, well, we're going to give your parents a pass because I like your dad. I've never met your mom, and actually I haven't met your dad either, but he's on Facebook and he's cool. Your dad has
guns. He gets a pass on most things.
He throws hatchets. Like, that's cool. In my book.
I still have some pictures to post on that, actually.
Oh, see.
Hatchet throwing's fun.
You better get to that.
I did that last weekend.
Okay, yeah.
Even though I'm not even going to ask.
Yeah. So, next movie. Speaking of hacking things.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring this up because it's worth mentioning. It is Canadian. Adam McGoyan's Adoration.
That wasn't the one I thought was next. Okay.
Okay, well, we'll get there in a second. Let me just say that there is a good movie in there somewhere. It's not the movie that was presented. Egoyan is pulling at too many strings. There's just way too much going on. One of the characters was so freaking infuriating, I was ready to throw something at the screen. And it ruins the entire movie. It literally ruins the movie. She's just... There's a French teacher who's not really a French teacher. Is she a drama teacher? I have no idea. I have no idea. Her decisions pull the entire story forward, and they make no sense. And it's infuriating. Infuriating. Other than that, Scott Speedman's great. The movie looks good, but it's infuriating. I'm just not sure what else to say. I was disappointed. Very disappointed. But we'll move along.
Wait, what's the plot?
The plot is, and this is the thing, it's so convoluted, because on the one hand you have a kid who's in school and he's given this assignment. They're doing some translation and he comes up with this translation that's like totally different than what they were reading. And so the teacher asks him to, so she's a French teacher, and she asks him to sort of develop the story that he's created. And so the story is basically his parents died when he was quite young in a car accident, and his father was like Iranian or something, like he was of ethnic descent. And so he creates this entire story where basically his father was, he basically planted a bomb that was going to explode on a plane.
Oh, okay. I remember the trailer.
Well, this is one of the sides of the story, right? So he's created the story and the teacher basically tells him, pretend it's all true. Don't tell anybody you've made it up. Just pretend you're doing this research and this actually happened to you. So you have that thing. And it, of course, then it goes beyond the school because he posts it online. So this is, I guess, where Egoyan is talking about the whole, you know, technology, blah, 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 which is totally not effective because he just doesn't develop it well enough. And then you have this other story where now the kid is living with his uncle And you get this entire family history that just makes no... I mean, it's interesting, but it has nothing to do with the other story you've been told. It's just... there's way too much going on, and it's just so disappointing because there's potential there. Just squandered. Squandered. It just... it tries too hard to be too many things, and it just doesn't work. It's just not... the movie is not 4 hours long. You can't develop everything. So everything is sort of left half-assed.
Hmm.
Really disappointing. Something that was only mildly disappointed in comparison, Terminator Salvation, which, you know, we've all heard about, McGee. Am I the only one that saw this?
I still haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet either.
It was on my list all week, but it's no longer in Pitt Meadows. It's gone.
Which surprises
it's
me.
It's a tenplex, and it lasted a week. Gone.
I keep waffling back and forth.
Let me say this. It's not great, but it's good. I didn't totally love it, but actually, I'll link to something. Val wrote up her review.
Yeah, I read Val's review.
Which was, I thought, excellent. And she basically brings up the point that it really feels like the story of John Connor has been expanded to fit the actor. And it makes a lot of sense because a lot of the story elements that include John Connor feel forced. And so her explanation is quite good. It doesn't help the movie anymore. It still feels kind of, you know, half-assed in places. But, I mean, it's not awful. And Anton Yelchin, this kid is on a roll, man. He is easily the best thing here. I really like Sam Worthington, but I thought he was sort of wasted. He's not given a lot to do. He's in the movie a lot. His storyline is quite important, but he's just a lot of yelling, a lot of action. I mean, not really all that much more to do. That said, he's going to be a huge star. I mean, that kid just exploded.
Yeah, I read Val's review kind of thing, and it's one of the reasons why I haven't been in the big rush to see it.
I mean, I think it's still worth seeing on the big screen because the action, this is action done right. Like, I'll give McGee some credit, and I think the guys brought it up when we did the, when one of them maybe wrote up the review, I can't remember now. But they sort of talk about how, you know, you have these, it's kind of like Transformers in a way, right? Because you have big machines going around killing people. Whereas Michael Bay has this action that's like 3,000 cuts a minute where you can't follow what's going on. McGee has some control over what's going on screen. He gives you time to adjust to the action and to what's going on, and you feel like you can actually follow it. And for that, I give him a lot of credit, because that's hard to do, obviously, because nobody else can seem to do it properly. And he makes it really enjoyable to watch.
Is it a gravel-inducing film?
It's not.
Oh, good.
Well, this is the surprising thing. I mean, it's not... I mean, the action is really good, and there's a lot going on, but it's not crazy. It doesn't give you a headache.
Good.
I mean, for that, I mean, I think it does have its merits. And it seems to be bouncing back a little bit. It wasn't doing all that well with the early reviews, but people have sort of started giving it a bit more flack. I don't know why, a little bit more slack. So the reviews are getting slightly better, but... you know, it's not great, but it's not awful. I thought it was quite enjoyable. I really did like it. It's a nice addition to the franchise. I'd see another one, as long as they clean up the story a little bit more and actually have a proper direction, because it did feel like it was all over the place. More Anton Yelchin.
Definitely.
More Yelchin.
I didn't even see the film, and I can already say
yeah,
that.
No, he's that kid is very, very good. I mean, he was in Star Trek, and he was really good.
Well, Charlie Bartlett.
Yeah, I mean, he was the standout there, for sure. I mean, even with Robert Downey Jr., I know. But yeah, he's really turning into a really great actor. I mean, really good. It's nice to see that, for sure. Okay, I know you've been waiting for it. All you want to talk about is Sam Raimi. Let's talk about Sam Raimi for a minute.
I have to Drag Me to myself.
Hell. Drag Me to Hell.
Drag Me to Hell, Sam Raimi's newest horror film.
Sam Raimi can drag me to hell any day. If it's Drag Me to Hell like this, any day.
It's been a while since he's done an actual horror film. He's been doing he did a Western, and he's done the Spider-Man franchise and all that. This is definitely getting way back to Evil Dead, Into the Woods sort of form. He can do horror with this cheesy streak in it like no one else.
Yeah.
Like, other people will screw it up and it'll just be a cheesy, retarded mess. Sam Raimi does it and you're, like, giggling inside the theater while the horror is taking
place.
This had
some cheesy goodness in it.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet cheesy goodness. And the funny part about this movie is it's not like nothing is new. It's not like you've never seen any of this stuff being done. It's all a rehash of, you know, some of his old movies, some other movies that other people have made. But he packages it together in a really entertaining way where it feels not new, but it feels fresh.
And you know what? A lot of it is so telegraphed, like amazingly telegraphed. He, like the whole, not to spoil anything, but there's something happens and is like, I'm free, everything's good. And you instantaneously, I defy anyone not to say, yeah, I know where this is going and it's all going to go real bad. And you know exactly what's happened and it doesn't matter because it's just the path there is just awesome.
Oh yeah, it's true.
There, how was that without spoilers?
That was very, very good actually, because it's very tempting to spoil that. Because I turned to Dan at one point and I'm like, come on, like you don't know where this is going. And I mean, we look at each other, you know exactly where it's going, but it's so much fun to watch. And I think that's the winning combination here, is that it's so nice to see something done this well.
I don't think I giggled as hard since like Hot Fuzz. I was giggling so hard in the theater.
It's more fun than it is. I mean, it's funnier than it is, you know, horror.
It had its moments where it made you jump kind of thing. Like there was a point where the seer is holding her hand, sort of looking into her psyche or something. And suddenly out of nowhere.
Jump
sort of
scare.
Like, yeah, jump scare. And it was done so well that you're instantly,
Yeah, pretty much.
That was
much.
Awesome. Then the laughing starts again.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the things with the kitten just made me laugh, because you know that kitten's gonna come back to haunt you.
No, how horrible.
It's all around goodness. And what is her name now? Loham, I think that's her name.
Yeah,
the lead girl,
I forget. She,
she's very good.
Oh my god, James Doohan.
Oh, that, have you been thinking about this the entire time?
It just jumped out from the back of my brain.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
So not so much scary as funny then, or not so much horror?
Equal parts.
Yeah, equal parts. I mean, there are some, you know, scary moments. Some people in the theater did jump.
Yeah. It very much comparable in my mind to Evil Dead 2.
See, I compared it more to Evil Dead 3. Well,
Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness.
You know what?
Army of Darkness lost the scary.
There was almost
cheesy.
No scare That's in true. Army of Darkness. It was all cheese, which was awesome because Bruce Campbell does that so well.
Evil Dead 1 and 2 did have a legitimate horror component.
I think would be a good comparison.
I was so happy to see the Oldsmobile take such a center stage in the film. I love the fact that he's only made one film that isn't in it. And, you know, deep down, part of me is thinking somehow, some way, he's managed to sneak that Oldsmobile in the Quick and the Dead kind of thing somewhere. Some little tiny picture this big was on a wall and made sure he scanned over it.
But. So where was Bruce?
I know, that was the only thing. I actually stayed for all the credits and reading for...
Ditto,
like,
was waiting
sound
for...
sound editing?
Well,
or?
I thought maybe he was like some walkthrough and some one shot that I totally missed.
No, because you would know
but...
if he was actually on screen, because Bruce Campbell fans everywhere would go, yay, he's in exactly 37 minutes, 42 seconds, exits from the left, and they will tell you where Bruce Campbell is.
Yeah, so that was the only thing that was a little off, but otherwise... totally awesome. The review reviews are well worth it. Surprisingly, Dan was not as impressed. He thought it was fun and good, but he did not give it an A+ rating.
Oh.
We were at a screening on a Friday night. I think everybody was going to see Pixar because the theater was nearly empty. And there was somebody with the producers that was there handing out cards for, you know, your review.
Nice.
And so after the movie, Dan and I sit there and we pull up our little cards and we're folding back the numbers, and I'm like, so where are you gonna give it? And I happened to look over and he gave it a B. And I look at him like, you gave it a B? I'm like, you should at least give it an A-.
Influencing his vote. Nice.
Trying to.
Yeah, well, you know, it won't be everyone's cup of tea. God knows if my mom saw it, she would be horrified out of her mind.
Yeah, no, but totally awesome. From the opening credits to the closing credits. The music is great.
I even like the graphic they have for Drag Me to Hell. That sort of squiggly line, sort of like, I'm drawing this on a sheet of paper. Yeah. I want it to look like this. Drag me to hell. Okay,
she's
just make that bigger.
She's actually writing this out.
Yeah. No, actually, I wrote "darg me to hell" because I can't spell to save my life, but that's okay.
But yeah, "Drag Me to Hell," well worth seeing. Two thumbs up from here.
Three thumbs up from here.
I'm not going to ask about the third thumb.
Oh, I amputate someone's hand and bring it with me.
Just use Dale's thumb.
Yeah, surrogate thumb. I don't know.
Surrogate thumb.
Big toe.
I have a chainsaw at home. I can arrange to have a third thumb if I so desire.
Okay, we'll just say that you have a third thumb.
All right.
We'll leave it at that. And I'll quickly mention, I actually saw this just before opening in town, Easy Virtue, which we talked about last month, with Jessica Biel and Ben Barnes and, damn it, Mr. Darcy, Colin Firth. Mr. Darcy is all I remember.
Mr. Darcy.
And it's very good. It's much funnier than I anticipated. It's very pretty. Very, very, very pretty. And Ben Barnes isn't really in it as much as I thought he would be, but it's nice to see him grown up and not as Prince Caspian, which was an interesting change.
Do you think it's going to expand outside of the Park Theater at all?
Probably not.
Damn.
I think it's got fairly limited appeal.
I keep on hoping it goes to Tinseltown and I can do films in a row.
It might go to Tinseltown. It's a solid little movie, though. Very entertaining. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was quite good.
Excellent.
Yeah. I laughed much harder than I expected to. And Jessica Biel is quite good. She actually acts, so go figure. She's more than just a pretty face.
Excellent.
It's not the first film where she's more than just a pretty face, but it's nice to see her because she really is carrying the film. I think in The Illusionist, she's sort of a side character, but in this, she really does carry the majority of the film between herself and actually Kristen Scott Thompson. Oh my God. Kristen Scott Thomas, who doesn't actually get top billing, but it's really a struggle of two women from different ponds and different beliefs and different societies sort of button heads. And it's interesting and it's a lot of fun. Much more fun than I expected. That's Easy Virtue. Well worth seeing. And that's all I got. Anything on DVD? You guys watch anything on DVD worth mentioning?
I've been watching mostly TCM older stuff with Spencer Tracy. Did I do that right? I keep on mixing it up and calling him Tracy Spencer for some reason. Dr. Jekyll kind of thing. Mr. Hyde from the 30s. It was kick-ass. But... yeah, no, I haven't seen a huge amount of films. I watched Ruling Class again. Yay. I love
which
that.
Which I am now going to watch.
Oh, you'll love it. And if you don't, I'll have to drown you.
I'm going to love it.
Okay.
Because I don't want to die.
There's
too much to do. I don't want to die.
You can't help. You can't help but love it. I'm the Electric Messiah, the AC/DC God.
Yes. Well, I didn't realize that line came from that movie. Yeah. Now I seriously need to watch it.
No doubt.
Dale, anything for you? Or just lots of TCM as well? Because I know you guys have been doing a lot of TV lately.
TCM rules.
I have rented a few of old blockbusters that I was doing some catching up on, and nothing leaps to mind, which might be telling in and of itself. Although I know I've rented some stuff that I enjoyed.
Oh, well, that happens. I haven't really seen anything that's totally standout either. Just a few things, but I think you guys are going to catch up on those, and then we'll talk.
Excellent.
Some good stuff coming. So I think that's it. You can probably hear like the wheels of the barbecue in the background. It's quite a nice day.
Hope everyone else is enjoying their late spring come summer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't know. I'm hoping July is looking better for movies.
Yeah, June's not looking...
No, it's not looking great.
I think I might use it as more of a catch-up for everything in May I missed.
Well, you know, that's okay.
I keep meaning to do that, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, keep an eye open for the limited stuff that's catching up to us that we talked about maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago.
Yeah, pretty much. It seems to be that way a lot lately. But, so that's it. So come on by roll3.com. Be sure to check out some of the other podcasts. The Cinecast records weekly, and the Mammo guys are doing their Summer. They have a really interesting show. I quite like their show. It's nice and short, about 30 minutes, and they talk about just general pop culture stuff.
It's kind of fun. I need to download that.
Yeah, it's a good little show. It's very interesting. And they record, we should record, they record it like a restaurant. Well, if they could pull it off in Toronto, we should be able to do the same in Vancouver.
Oh, we could, I'm sure, if we wanted to.
We should.
Do that, packing gear.
That's the only thing, right?
It's podcast in the park.
But nice. I mean, I know you don't like plugging yourself, so I'll put in a plug for you. The Twilight Broadcast Podcast. Oh. I can't even remember your proper name, but...
Before the Dawn.
Before the Dawn.
Look for us in iTunes.
Even if you're only vaguely interested in Twilight, it's still interesting listening, because Moxie... Shannon, the movie Moxie, and Marina usually come up with interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, it's been kind of fun doing the show.
And, you know, if they do start obsessing on the guys a bit too much, that's what the fast forward button is for.
We don't do that, do we?
I don't know. No, actually, not too much. Okay, good. It's like you keep it within a couple minutes.
Okay, good. It's good to know we're not obsessing, because that would be bad, considering most of those boys are boys. So, you know, you want to keep it on the legal side of things. Oh, boy. That's why I watch The Tudors, because everyone is of age.
Oh, man.
And The Tudors, let me just tell you, The Tudors is awesome. I know Colleen is not a big fan, but...
Yeah, well, that whole era is my sort of timeline.
You still need to watch. It's like the best soap opera on TV.
I couldn't get into it when I...
Oh, my God. Not a big soap opera fan, though. Oh, no. This is so awesome. Come on. We're almost at the end of the season, mind you. But he's already left his, I guess, third wife. He's married for the fourth time now and left her. And now he's on the fifth, I think it is. I mean, this guy just goes through women like water. Like, what are they going to do for season four?
Hey, what's the film coming up with Michael J. Hall in it? Dexter.
Oh, Michael C. Hall. Michael C. Wait. Gamer.
That's it. That's the trailer
Neville Dean and Taylor are back, the crank guys. It's their new movie, which I didn't...
I still haven't seen is...
Crank 2?
Neither have I.
Mm-hmm. But it's funny because I saw that trailer for Gamer, I think it's called now, because they've changed the name a couple of times. And I was not interested at all. And then I saw the trailer the other day in the theater, and they had all this Michael C. Hall stuff. I'm like... It's Dexter. I think it was a Drag Me to Hell.
That's right.
That was a new trailer. And I'm like, holy shit, now I have to see it. you put in Dexter, you know we got to go.
No.
Dexter fangirls over here.
It's one of my secret polygamous husbands. There's a certain amount of loyalty there.
Enough to get our money.
That's right.
And it does look interesting in its own little way.
Someone told me he's actually in real life married to the woman that plays his sister.
Yep, that's
yeah,
true.
That's kind of weird.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, okay.
Well, it is the South.
We don't hit women.
Well,
okay, actually, you brought it up. Can we talk about the Bad Lieutenant trailer?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. Okay, as soon as we stop recording, we are going to watch this trailer because it is so awesome. If you haven't seen it, it's Werner Herzog. They're basically remaking Bad Lieutenant. The trailer it stars Nicolas Cage as the Bad Lieutenant, directed by Werner Herzog.
Oh, I thought he was the actor. I'm like, how is he going to fit in Bad Lieutenant?
Dude, it is so glorious. It's so bad. It is awesome.
Excellent.
I'm not even kidding. You mean you don't have a lucky crack pipe? Okay, you guys need to see this. We need to stop recording now so you can listen to this.
Okay.
So come on by row3.com to check out all the show notes and check out all the other stuff that's going on the site. Also, we just recently recorded the Movie Club podcast, so lots of alien talk, totally worth listening to. And that's it. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Turn to paper towels, convenience over quality. It so begins the trend, and we proudly announce our throwaway society. She said a mother's thriftiness embarrassed her. Father's dirty hands.
that she'd have more, and threw her morals out into the arms of prosperity. But they could have been salvaged, oh, not tossed away. They could have been salvaged, I'm sorry to say. They could have been salvaged, oh, but I guess that's no fun. They should have been salvaged, 'cause now just look. Look what she's become. Prematurely level to the ground, and in its place looms a five-bedroom space with not an ounce of soul. Bills are building, tension starts to mount. But it should have been salvaged, oh, not torn away. It should have been salvaged. There's nothing left for him but her tear-stained eyes. What about the laughter and the love that we once felt? She screams, why can't we just give it one more try? 'Cause it could have been salvaged, oh, not thrown away. It could have been salvaged. Think we can come on every